Well, good evening. Thank you, Ben, leading so far, and I'd like to add my welcome to that Ben's given. And it is great to sing, isn't it? Realise one fault of singing with a mask on. You take a big intake of breath and the mask goes in your mouth and you can't breathe. So I have to figure that one out. But anyway, let's turn to God's Word together. If you can turn to Mark's Gospel, continue our series, Mark chapter 10. And we're on the last bit of chapter 10, so verse 46 to the end of the chapter, verse 52. So it's blind Bartimaeus receives his sight. So it's on the screen if you haven't got a Bible with you. And it says this is God's word. Then they came to Jericho. As Jesus and his disciples, together with a large crowd, were leaving the city, a blind man, Bartimaeus, which means son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside begging. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." Many rebuked him and told him to be quiet, but he shouted all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stopped and said, "Call him." So they called to the blind man, "Cheer up, on your feet, he's calling you." Throwing his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet and came to Jesus. "What do you want me to do for you?" Jesus asked him. The blind man said, "Rabbi, I want to see." "Go," said Jesus, "your faith has healed you." Immediately, he received his sight and followed Jesus along the road. Amen. Let's pray before we come to this passage now that, again, perhaps a familiar story to many of us, but that we're just struck by the truth of this text now. What we learn about discipleship, what we learn about following Jesus, and we pray that all that fills our souls is Jesus. Let's pray. Yes, Lord, we do make that our prayer this evening, that all that will thrill our soul is Jesus. And Lord, as we look again at this great theme of this last few chapters, and Mark has been looking at of following Jesus, of discipleship, Lord, we pray that we'll learn something new this evening. We pray that we'll be reminded of things this evening. But Lord, we pray that every single one of us will be leaving this evening challenged to follow Jesus along that road. No matter how narrow, no matter how difficult or uphill that hill and that road might be, Lord, we pray that we would take our example from Bartimaeus, but take our example from Jesus, who the joy set before him endured the cross. And Lord, if that's Jesus' way, it will be our way. And as it says in Psalm 119, Lord, it's great to sing the songs tonight, but Lord, we thank you that all the truth of these songs go back to your words. And it says, "Give me understanding so I may keep your law and obey it with all my heart. Direct me in the path of your commands, for there I find delight." Lord, we pray that that would be our delight this evening, to find the truth of your words. We pray this in Jesus' name now. Amen. So we're in this last kind of area of Mark now, where the topic is discipleship and following Jesus. From chapter 11, it says, as they approach Jerusalem, there the subject's going to change a little bit as the cross comes into focus more and more. So we're still on the subject of discipleship, and many of the accounts throughout the Gospels, we see Jesus healing people and we see amazing miracles throughout all the Gospels. But here in Mark, with Jesus' kind of last main miracle in the Gospel, actually what we see here is something different to the other Gospels. What we see here is something different compared to all the other synoptic Gospels. So Matthew, Mark and Luke, what we see here is something different going on. Here is, out of all those Gospels, here is the only miracle that we see where the person who is healed is named. So out of all the people that Jesus healed, Matthew, Mark and Luke, it's only Bartimaeus that is named. And so I think one of the reasons for that is that Mark's actually trying to tell us something really important here about Bartimaeus. So again, remember, back from Mark chapter 8, verse 34, from that point on, the gospel was about discipleship, what following Jesus looks like. And now, as I said, we're on the last section of that topic. And the last section of this topic, and we see, don't we, that Jesus is about to enter Jerusalem in chapter 11. And so as Mark ends this topic on discipleship now, he's telling us something about discipleship as we look at Bartimaeus. If we want to know what humble discipleship looks like from day to day, Mark's saying, look at Bartimaeus. And so the setting here, it's Jericho, verse 46, we see that. They came to Jericho, and that's not Old Testament Jericho where Joshua and the walls came tumbling down. That's New Testament Jericho. It's a different Jericho. It's about 20 miles north of Jerusalem. One thing to mention about Jericho is its archaeologists think that Jericho, New Testament Jericho now, and Damascus are the oldest inhabited cities on the planet, on Earth. It's extremely old. So there should be a more kind of up-to-date picture of Jericho that comes up. So that's like a modern-day Jericho now. And you can see why perhaps it's inhabited for so long. As you make your way to Jerusalem, you're in the midst of deserts, and then suddenly there's this mass of palm trees which grows along this massive oasis in the middle of the desert. And so it's a strategic place on this main road to Jerusalem. In the middle of the desert, you find this refreshing oasis. Ideal place for a beggar to place themselves with such a busy road, with such passing trade. And I thought just picturing that in our heads might help us, because that's where we meet Bartimaeus now. And where we meet this beggar. So Bartimaeus, it's an Aramaic name, which means, and that's why Mark gives us the brackets there, it means son of Timaeus. So we perhaps think of the name Johnson, it means son of John. Or perhaps my name, Pritchard, Ap Richard, son of Richard. It's like that. So Mark makes that clear to not his Aramaic readers, they would have understood this, makes it clear to his Gentile readers. Verse 46, we see the brackets there, which means son of Timaeus. But why is Mark telling us that Bartimaeus is such an ideal example of what discipleship looks like? Because if we, on the face of it, as we just read this passage now, I'm not sure you and I would automatically feel like, oh yeah, I really want to be like Bartimaeus. Why is he portrayed as a desirable example for us? He's an outcast. He's a beggar. He's blind. He's been by the side of the road. It's showing us, isn't it, that Bartimaeus is sidelined, marginalised by society and culture. It doesn't really seem like someone who we should really want to aspire to. I mean, put yourself in Bartimaeus' shoes, or probably sandals at that point. He's an outcast. Verse 46, where's Bartimaeus? Sitting at the sides. He's not in the middle of the road. He's not travelling to Jerusalem with everyone else for the Passover celebrations. He can't see anyone. Now and again, he'll hear a noise of footsteps, and he calls out and he begs for money. He's on the sides, unimportant, poor, and lonely. All he really knows in his life is just darkness. Think about this man's loneliness in life. Some time ago, there was an advert, apparently, in an American local newspaper, and the advert said this: I will listen to you talk for 30 minutes without comment for $5. And we might think that's a bit strange, we might laugh at that, but it's actually reported in the days after that the person put that advert in the newspaper, they were receiving between 10 and 20 calls a day. And who called? It's people who are desperately lonely. People who wanted some kind of companionship. And most regularly, there are people who were sidelined or outcast in society. And loneliness has been a huge issue, actually, since the pandemic started. There are now websites dedicated to loneliness during lockdown. That was Bartimaeus' life. But the reason why actually Mark shows us that he's such a great example for following Jesus is because actually, despite being an outcast, despite being blind, Bartimaeus recognises and does certain things that show us discipleship. And in this story, ironically, what Bartimaeus lacks in eyesight, he makes up for in insight. He's able to see Jesus far more clearly than those around him. And that's why the title tonight, The Blind Man with Great Vision. So 4 points tonight, which will take us through the story about, okay, what does following, before the gospel moves on, what does following Jesus look like? What do we need to see? And the first thing we need to see is, in discipleship, see your desperate need. See your desperate need. Suddenly, again, imagine Bartimaeus there. He's on the roadside, and he starts hearing a bit more of a crowd. He hears more footsteps now. There seems to be a lot more hustle and bustle on the road. And he catches wind that there's a man called Jesus coming his way. And Bartimaeus, think about it. He's not seen any of Jesus' miracles firsthand. He hadn't seen Jesus being raising people from the dead. He hasn't seen any of Jesus cleansing the lepers. And all the privileges that people had to go and see and witness these things, Bartimaeus' blindness just didn't give him that opportunity. But it's clear, isn't it, that Bartimaeus has clearly heard something of this man, Jesus, about what he was doing, his mighty works. Bartimaeus had heard these things and believed them. He didn't put it down to just myth or legend or just mere gossip. He must have thought, I tell you what, if Jesus ever comes down this road, I will need to take that opportunity. If he comes down this road, I do not want to miss that opportunity. And that is a great example for us today. If you're here tonight and you are not saved, Mark is telling us that actually we'll do well to follow Bartimaeus, to make the most of every opportunity we have when Jesus comes our way. And now this hustle and bustle starts getting closer and closer. He hears people calling out to Jesus, and Bartimaeus thinks, this is my moment. This is my opportunity. And he shouts out above the noise of the crowd. And even though he can't see, he makes himself heard. Verse 47, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Son of David. That's a really important title. That for years and years, they awaited from this long promised Son of David who was to come. We see actually that's what comes from 2 Samuel chapter 7, 11 to 13, which should come up on the screen. It says, the Lord declares to you that the Lord himself will establish, God talking to David, King David, when your days are over and you will rest with your ancestors. I will raise up your offspring to succeed you, your own flesh and blood, and I will establish his kingdom. So far it sounds like that's Solomon, someone to come after him. He's the one who built a house in my name. Sounds like Solomon. I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. Actually, this is a kingdom that will go on and on forever. God will raise up one of David's descendants to establish his kingdom forever. And that is what people were expecting as Jesus went into Jerusalem. This conquering king, a David-like king, to come in, conquer enemies, and set God's people free. That's what they're expecting. But actually, Jesus shows us that this Son of David title is, it's not so much, it's much more than just a warrior king. It's actually a king who shows mercy. It's a king who shows love to the outcasts. And Bartimaeus just shouts this out again and again. The crowds just don't get it. Verse 48, they tell him to keep down and tell him to be quiet. But he just shouts all the more. Verse 48, Son of David, have mercy on me. Bartimaeus knows that this is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. He's not going to get this chance again. That's why he's so loud. That's why he's so concerned to make himself heard, because Bartimaeus knows his desperate need, doesn't he? Bartimaeus shows us, actually, yes, his physical blindness was obvious, but our spiritual blindness is ultimate. I mean, why is it today that there are just so many people, year after year, that are just so half-hearted in seeking Jesus? There's so many just give up and give in at the first hurdle when there's discouragement. I mean, Bartimaeus faced discouragement. The crowd told him to be quiet. Why do people just give up and give in so easily? It's because they don't see that they're in desperate need. They don't feel that just the vile nature of their sin, that they're enemies with God. We see many conspiracy theorists at the moment, don't we, with the pandemic, that they argue about the true effects, the true nature of coronavirus, but actually the far more people fall for the conspiracy of, oh, people aren't that bad. Actually, society in general is even getting better, isn't it? They don't see their need for forgiveness. They don't see their desperate need. They don't see the horrendous pandemic of their own heart. And that actually, left on their own, they'll be spending eternity in hell forever. That's their desperate needs. Bartimaeus knew his need. He knew he was blind, but he was insightful enough to know he needed Jesus. Many others aren't physically blind, but they lack the complete vision that they need forgiveness. They lack the vision that actually they need Jesus, and the only way to get forgiveness is through him. And so we pray for more people, don't we? In our churches, when we do our evangelism, we pray for more people like Bartimaeus who know their frightening condition and they call out to Jesus. If that's you tonight and you're not saved, will you call out like Bartimaeus tonight? And so the first thing about following Jesus is, each and every one of us tonight, do you see your hugely desperate need? The second thing about discipleship is, don't be put off. Don't be put off. There's that scene, I've been going through a little bit of Pilgrim's Progress recently, and there's that scene right at the very beginning, isn't there? Where there's two men called Obstinate and Pliable, and they are trying to discourage the main character, Christian, from going on his journey to the kingdom that will last forever, we're told. And a lot of the time we see Christian, he refers back to this book all the time, which tells him the way to go, and Obstinate says, "Nonsense, away with your book. Will you come back with us or not?" "No," said Christian. "Now that I have laid my hand on the plough, I cannot look back. I have started my journey. I must finish it." And surprisingly, Pliable joins Christian for some of the journey. And while they're talking about this glorious destination which they're heading towards, in the midst of all that, suddenly they fall into a swamp. And they both begin to sink. And it's at that moment, Pliable says angrily to Christian, "Is this the happiness you've been telling me about all the time we've been together? If we have had this much difficulty at the beginning of our journey, what can we expect between now and the end of our journey? If I get out this swamp alive, you can have that brave country that you're so fond of talking about without me." And it says, so Pliable went away and Christian never saw him again. How many people do we know like Pliable? Give up at the first hurdle in the Christian life. Perhaps they've been baptized and then, like Christian with Pliable, we never see them again. They rather than the struggle of the Christian life, they just rather the fleeting pleasures of this life. But with Bartimaeus, he was not put off, was he? When he was held back from the crowds, he shouted out all the more. Look down verse 47, 48. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Many rebuked him and told him to be quiet, but he shouted all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." The crowds don't get Bartimaeus' persistence here. And it's not the first time in Mark 10 that people have been stopped from going to see Jesus, where the weak, the vulnerable, the needy have been stopped from seeing Jesus. We've already seen in this chapter alone, Mark 10:13 said, people were bringing little children to Jesus for him to place his hands on them, but the disciples rebuked them. It's like the people there, the disciples there, stopped the children from seeing Jesus. Here, the crowd are trying to stop Bartimaeus from seeing Jesus, but Bartimaeus wasn't having it. He shouts all the louder. This opposition to Bartimaeus, it just fans the flame even more, doesn't it? Now, maybe for you, you've been put off in following Jesus because of what people have said to you. You rather crave the acceptance of friends, of mates, of work colleagues, rather than just longing and longing for the acceptance of Jesus. How have you in life been put off from following Jesus? Whether it's what people have said to you, or perhaps what you've said to yourself, your own thoughts fill your head and try and stop you following Jesus. Sometimes I've known people who intentionally put themselves off following Jesus, saying, "Well, I'm still young, I've got loads of time. I'll come back to this Jesus thing later on." And maybe you tell yourself, I can't call myself a Christian yet. I don't know enough. I don't know enough Bible. And that just weighs you down. And maybe sadly you've told yourself, "It's too late for me to follow Jesus. I should have become a Christian years and years ago. I think it's too late for me now." Or worse still, people say to you perhaps, "Oh, you've gone too far. I'm not sure with everything you've done there's forgiveness for you anymore. You've gone too far. When those sort of thoughts fill our heads, we need to do the same as Bartimaeus here. When we're put off from following Jesus, we need to be like Bartimaeus here. And like Bartimaeus, he called out for Jesus all the louder and louder. And so if you are tempted tonight, you just feel as though your Christian faith is hanging by a thread. If you actually have been put off from following Jesus already, you can come back to him tonight. There's nothing to stop you calling out again, like Bartimaeus tonight, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." And so when those doubts fill your head, like Martin Luther had, the reformer Martin Luther said this, when those doubts filled his head, "So when the devil throws your sins in your face and declares you deserve death and hell, tell him this: I admit that I deserve death and hell. What of it? For I know one who suffered and made satisfaction on my behalf. His name is Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And where he is, I shall be also." Like Bartimaeus, shout all the louder for Jesus tonight. Say, "All that fills my soul is Jesus." Don't let anything put you off following him. And so following Jesus, first two things we've seen is, look, see your desperate need for him. Don't let anything put you off from following him. But thirdly, following Jesus also means know Jesus' heart. Know Jesus' heart for you tonight. Because what happened next? Bartimaeus shouted louder and louder. The crowd told him to stop and he shouts louder. What happened next? Verse 49. Jesus stopped and said, "Call him." So they called to the blind man, "Cheer up, on your feet, he's calling you." Throwing his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet and came to Jesus. And we see that Jesus stopped. Jesus heard him. Jesus stops. And so the fate of Bartimaeus hangs on what happens next, what Jesus does next. In fact, the words of verse 49, they aren't dramatic enough, really. In the Greek, it literally says, Jesus stood still. He stops. We heard last week, didn't we? Jesus just resolutely heads setting out for Jerusalem now. He sets out for Jerusalem. Jesus will not be stopped. He will not turn aside. He's a man on a mission. He will not be stopped until he hears little old blind Bartimaeus calling for him. Jesus sets his sights on Jerusalem. Nothing and no one can distract him from his mission except a little outcast, sidelined blind man. This powerless one, Bartimaeus, this powerless one, stops this man with great power. This poor outcast stopped the man who left the riches and the glory of heaven. It says Jesus stood still. And what does Jesus say? Does he say to Bartimaeus, "Look, mate, who do you think you are? Do you not realize what I'm going to Jerusalem to do? No one can stop me, especially not a poor blind beggar. My job's too important at Jerusalem." Of course Jesus doesn't say that. Jesus just gently calls him over. And Bartimaeus throws off all his belongings, which is basically his cloak, which he would have used to lay out in front of him, and people put money on that cloak. And after being guided to Jesus, he's now face to face before Jesus. Obviously, he still can't see him. And Jesus just says to him, "What do you want me to do for you?" When we were reading that, you should have recognized it. What do you want me to do for you? We heard that last week, exactly the same question from last week. If you look down verse 36 of our passage last week, it reads, "What do you want me to do for you?" he asked. And he asked that question to James and John, doesn't he, his disciples. And what they ask for, "What do you want me to do for you?" They ask for greatness, don't they? Verse 37, "Let one of us sit at your right and the other at your left in your glory." They ask Jesus for the extraordinary. Bartimaeus only asked to be made ordinary. Just normal health. But why does Jesus ask this question? Surely Bartimaeus' need is obvious. It's obvious what he wants Jesus to do. Jesus has to get to Jerusalem. He's on this mission. He can't be distracted. Why does Jesus just ask this question? Why doesn't he just do the miracle? Well, Jesus knows, doesn't he, that Bartimaeus is just not a problem to be dealt with and on he goes. Bartimaeus isn't a project for Jesus. Bartimaeus is a human being made in the image of God who has value, who is loved. Bartimaeus, he doesn't ask for greatness, does he? He just says in those words there, in verse second half of verse 51, he just says, Rabbi, I want to see. Look, Jesus, I'm not asking for status. I'm not asking for glory. I'm just begging you. Do something for me that almost every human being enjoys. Jesus, I just want to be able to see. He wanted to get out of this darkness that has just defined his life. His life had just been constant darkness. Rabbi, I want to receive my sight. And to be honest, that's not quite the way Bartimaeus actually said that. Most of the times when people approach Jesus, they do address him as Rabbi, which meant teacher. Bartimaeus actually in the original doesn't call him that. The words Bartimaeus actually uses is Rabboni. Rabboni, I want to see. It's the same title that Mary called Jesus at the tomb, wasn't it? When Mary saw the resurrected Jesus, he came to life again, she said, Rabboni. And I know the difference between Rabbi and Rabboni doesn't sound much, but it's important. Whereas Rabbi meant teacher. And this should be mind-blowing for us, considering the limited knowledge Bartimaeus had. Bartimaeus, in faith, addresses Jesus as Rabboni, which means my Lord, my Master. It was usually often used as a word to address God in prayer. Bartimaeus makes his plea for sight. He makes a prayer to Jesus, Rabboni, let me see. And Bartimaeus, in just humble trust, asks Jesus. He doesn't ask him for wealth, doesn't ask him for power or status or success like James and John did, just for sight. He didn't ask to be made superhuman, just simply human. He wanted the bare minimum of just wanting to see. And so do you see Jesus' heart for Bartimaeus here? And that same heart that Jesus has is the same heart for you tonight. Jesus has complete focus on what he has to do in Jerusalem. But this powerless man stops this man with all the power in the world. Such is Jesus' heart for those who know they need him. And so, do you know your huge need for Jesus tonight? Again, if you're just here tonight and it's like, oh, I'm thrilled I'm in church, I'm thrilled I can sing, I'm thrilled I'm hearing from God's word, but I'm struggling at the moment. Do you see Jesus' heart for you tonight? If so, he'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. That's discipleship. But the final thing that we see about discipleship is that it's faith that always follows. Faith always follows. Again, imagine being this blind man. Utter darkness. Darkness is all you knew. Imagine that moment Jesus says, go, your faith has healed you. Imagine that moment, your eyes being opened for the first time. You could see the palm trees of that oasis that we mentioned, the green trees there. You could go and explore with your eyes what you've never seen before. All those sights that have been described to you in your life, you can now go and see those places. Instead, Bartimaeus, his eyes are open. The first face that he sees is Jesus. And what does he do? Does he go and see all these sights? No, verse 52. He followed Jesus along the road. He followed Jesus along the road. When Bartimaeus was saved, Bartimaeus could not leave the one who had saved him, who'd shown him such love and shown him such mercy. I said that Bartimaeus was saved there. How do we know he was saved? Sure, maybe he was just healed. Jesus says, go, your faith has healed you. But the word for healed there is the word for saved. Go, your faith has saved you. I'm sure there was a physical answer to prayer of Bartimaeus' sight, but also a spiritual answer to prayer in Jesus saving him. And again, how do we know he was saved? Well, verse 52 doesn't say Bartimaeus joined the rest of the crowd towards Jerusalem. It says he followed Jesus along the way. And that's exactly what saving faith does, doesn't it? Saving faith puts you on the road to follow Jesus. That's the mark of discipleship. Following Jesus wherever he goes. Even if that means it's a road of suffering, like where Jesus is heading. The road marked to Jerusalem was a road of suffering. This place in Jericho was about 840 feet below sea level. The 20 miles odd to Jerusalem, it involves a climb of 3,500 feet. In the heat and everything, that's going to be a difficult road to walk on. It's going to be difficult for Bartimaeus to follow Jesus. But again, that is Christian discipleship. Following the narrow road wherever Jesus leads us. Again, that's discipleship. The theme of the gospel is going to change in Mark next week. But here, before we move on, Mark gives us a true picture of a disciple. A man who's marginalized and poor and cannot see. But despite that blindness, he sees Jesus for who he really is, doesn't he? Bartimaeus said, "Rabboni, my Lord, my Master." When you have a master, it means you're a servant. That's what Jesus has been trying to teach his disciples. It's about being a servant. And where they fail, this poor blind man sees. Bartimaeus, he was blind in body, but he was not blind in faith. His insight was completely open. And he saw things that the disciples failed to see. But Bartimaeus saw things that the scribes and the Pharisees never saw. And so tonight, just to end with a challenge, does blind Bartimaeus see Jesus more clearly than you do tonight? You have the whole of scriptures. You have church where people can explain the Bible to you, but still, does Bartimaeus see Jesus more clearly than you tonight? He knew his need, do you? He called out for Jesus, have you? And you don't need to make yourself clean. You don't need to put yourself together before you can come to Jesus. You can come to Jesus however you are. You can come to Jesus as you are tonight. But Jesus never leaves you as you are. Jesus completely transformed Bartimaeus' life from a beggar at the side of the road to a disciple following him on the road. Faith that doesn't lead to following Jesus isn't saving faith. And so tonight, whatever you may come across this week, how the pleasures that we get with Jesus, but also the struggles. Whatever you face this week, whatever you face in the years ahead, are you willing to follow Jesus tonight, even if that's an uphill battle? And so, if you are, we can sing the words of our next hymn together, can't we? Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind. But now I see. I pray that we, like Bartimaeus, have a great faith and a great insight in our Saviour tonight. Amen.